Spain had a far more cooperative government, was offering better locations near beaches, and was already a major tourist destination, Europe's equivalent of California or Florida. Not surprisingly, Eisner prevailed. In December 1985, he flew to Paris to announce plans for a new Euro Disney on the scale of Disney World, a Magic Kingdom, thousands of hotel rooms, campgrounds, golf course, convention facilities, an office complex, and residential development, all to be built on 4,400 acres, 15 miles from Paris. While he was there, he happened to visit a movie theater on the Champs-Élysées, where he saw the hit French film Trois Hommes et un Couffin. Even though he had trouble understanding most of the French dialogue, Eisner loved the visual comedy and the audience's delight in a story of three hapless bachelors trying to care for an infant. As soon as he returned, Eisner told Katzenberg to get the rights to the film. But a bidding war erupted, and it became obvious that Disney couldn't pursue its usual low-budget strategy. "They are asking for a ludicrous deal," Eisner wrote in a memo during negotiations. "If you add in the cost of a star, you are in the mega-cost picture, and maybe we should forget it. On the other hand, we could be at the threshold here, if we don't go forward, of passing on the equivalent of Stripes or Tootsie or one of those movies. The only thing I know is that this movie will be vastly and wildly and spectacularly commercial." When Eisner felt strongly, he was willing to pay, as he had for Raiders of the Lost Ark. Disney ended up paying $1 million, a huge sum for rights to a foreign film. The architectural competition for the Tishman Hotels at Disney World proved just a warm-up for the much grander scale of Euro Disney. Eisner and his team of Imagineers had already embraced the ambitious notion of reinventing the theme park. As Tony Baxter, the Imagineer Eisner assigned to the project, put it in an early meeting, "We're building a resort next to one of the most sophisticated, cultured cities in the world, and we're going to be competing with the great art and architecture of Europe. We have to do something unique." No one ever said that no expense was to be spared, least of all the tight-fisted Eisner. But that was the message embraced by the Imagineers, encouraged by Eisner to think freely without regard to cost. This had also been implicit from the beginning when, at Eisner's behest, Wing Chow assembled a team of prominent architects, Stern, Graves, Venturi, plus Frank Gehry and Stanley Tigerman, who sequestered themselves over an Easter weekend at Stern's offices in New York to brainstorm over a master plan for a European resort. Then Eisner staged an international competition for specific assignments within the master plan, adding a roster of prominent international architects to the competition. Bernard Schumi, the Swiss architect who was dean of the architecture school at Columbia University, Hans Hollien from Austria, Rem Koolhaas from the Netherlands, Jenna Nouvelle and Jean-Paul Viguier from France, Aldo Rossi of Italy, Arata Isozaki of Japan, as well as additional Americans. They made their presentations at Eisner's house in Bel Air over a four-day period, a veritable movable feast of architecture for Eisner, even though he thought most of the designs were far too cool, abstract, and restrained for a theme park. After choosing six winning architects, Stern, Graves, Gehry, Aldo Rossi, and Antoine Predac, Eisner plunged into planning for the new park with an enthusiasm that eclipsed even his interest in film. He began spending extended periods with the Imagineers.